Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Racing Ties Live. Hey, my guest, are you there, John? Hello? Hey,
I'm
we
here.
Can't hear you. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I actually have another guest on the line, too. G, are you there? G, are you there? Hello? I think I have a guest on the line. Well, anyways, I want to welcome everybody to Racing Ties Live tonight. We have a few guests that we're still waiting for to call in, John, and I think one of them just called in. We have you on, John Genius. We have Kelvin K. Chill Harris. We have Maxine Jones is going to be a guest, and also Liebert Lester. So I'm just going to give our guests a few more moments just to give a call in, and we'll be right back to start our show. Racing Time Live, and it's going to air on Max Radio. So hold on, and I'll be right back.
Like
like it when I get aggressive. Tell you to go slower, go faster, like controller, controller. But you can't just diss and come tell me talk. Can't listen to me talk and go tell my story. It don't work like that when you love somebody. My old flex and my new flex, now I'm working on. That's what I need, all the energy that you bring to me. My locker would tear me apart, but you never want to split a thing.
Welcome everyone to Racing Ties Live. It's a show where we have interesting and intriguing topics, a little bit controversial, but I also have, you know, artists, authors, entrepreneurs, and just great people like yourselves that are on tonight. So my guest tonight, if you want to introduce yourself, John Genius, the reason I wanted to have you on is so you can tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the youth in DeKalb County concerning basketball and some of the things that you do. So, John, you have the floor. How you been doing?
Wow. I've been fine.
I'm doing great.
I'm always asked that question back. But just to double off of what you were saying with the youth, I have a basketball team called the Rhinos Basketball Club. It was based off of my military unit. That's where the origin of the name comes from. I coach the ages between 13 to 18-year-old young men. And, yeah, we operate out of DeKalb County. And right now we are the defending champions in the league that I created. And
okay.
I did not pay the refs, just to let y'all know. That was a joke. But
said you didn't do what?
I didn't pay the refs. I might have slid him a $20 or so here or there, but, no, I didn't pay him.
But you know, I've been to the games and somebody needed to talk to those refs. But anyway, but you did win, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, two out of three championships for these two
different. That's great.
Three different divisions, yeah.
Okay.
So.
And that's like a summer league or you know, what was the time frame of those games that were
played? We had started in March. After we finished one league, I went ahead and got some teams together, and we just put a league together. And just for bragging rights, to create rivalries so the kids don't have to travel 800 miles, spend $800,000 just running up and down the road for nothing, trying to get exposure. It's almost like that unsigned artist game, you know? doing all of this to get seen, but you're not being seen by the right people. So our time frame was from spring to summer till June.
Okay. Wow, okay. And so that means that they won all of those games or just kept on building up until they won the final complete championship.
Well, what we did was have a 12-game season instead of your traditional in the church playing six games, no disrespect. But I try to give them an alternative to high school basketball. So give them the best experience that they can have close to high school basketball as far as lengthwise, experience-wise. Then instead of just doing a single elimination tournament, what we did was an actual playoff. So they had to win the best out of three.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we were able to make it to three championship games. And it was very tiring, but we made it and won two out of three.
Wow, that's great, John. I know that, like, you know, you're always busy doing something regarding that, you know, with the kids. But the reason I wanted to have you on the show is give us a little bit of your background. You mentioned your military background. Tell us a little bit about your military background.
If I tell you, I got to kill you.
Well, look, you don't know where I am right now, so you can tell her.
Oh, I know where you are. I know how to ping your phone. I did 11 and a half years. Gave Uncle Sam 11 and a half years. I did six to the Marine Corps. That was four active and two reserves. I set up for a half a year. And then I also, before I joined, a lot of people don't know that when you do the waiting program, it's a delay entry program, that counts towards your contractual time as well. So when I got in, I didn't have to spend a lot of time like a lot of guys who just signed up and went in right away on the back end. So I got out, became bored, and said, okay, my body was breaking down. I can't do the Marines no more, so let me do the Army. And I went to the National Guard, and I did the National Guard for about a good 4.5 years, and I got out on medical.
Okay.
I was in the Marine Corps, I did a tour in Iraq. Uh-huh. Sorry, long-winded.
Right. Wow. You said you're what?
Long-winded answer.
You're
long.
No, but that's all right, because I'll just cut you. I'll just cut the wind off, so don't worry.
Okay.
You know me, John. But what I was going to say, that's some of your military background, but when you came out, you tell us about what you did as an entrepreneur, because, you know, it all builds right back up to what you're doing now.
You're trying to delve into, what I've done as an entrepreneur, I've dabbled with the entertainment industry, trying to help out a lot of local artists. But I started off trying to be an artist, ran into some roadblocks. And then because I have a better business mind, I said, okay, let me try to start something. So what I did was start an internet radio station. It was called Yard Man Radio. After Yard Man Radio, I went ahead and said, well, maybe internet radio isn't really where it's at. So I tried public broadcasting television. I started a show called Hustle Hard TV, which was aired in DeKalb County. Material started to get scarce because artists, some of them don't take their craft very seriously. And the ones who they were very hard to reach out to or try to get in touch with. I know some of them were saying, like, well, you didn't try to get in touch with me. Trust me.
Yeah, because they're so
busy.
If I had
the number, I would have called. Yeah. So I was trying to build a show off of those type of artists, the ones that's really grinding. And fortunately for me, with Hustle Hard TV, we had a couple of artists that did progress past public access. One of them was Junie Bombeda with his single, What's Up With Those Cookies. I'm not saying I'll put him out there. I'm just saying that he was on that show. Our very first guest was Sheba. Y'all might know as Miss Rap Supreme. Off of VH1, she had one, and she was our very first guest. She did a 16 for us, you know, as an intro, and I was very appreciative of that. We had a couple of other artists that, you know, like did something, but they really didn't go anywhere. And then after that, I started a magazine, which is called I Am You Magazine.
That's what I was going to ask you next, your magazine.
All right. So I Am You was started in 2011.
Let me just cut you short. Let me pause you for one quick second. So you basically, all your life, you've been doing things that are, you know, deal with people, interacting with people on a personal level. So this is basically your passion, correct?
Basically, yeah.
Fast forward to the reason why you're doing that. Reason why I want to interview you is because you also do a camp for the boys in the summertime. Tell us a little bit about that as well, the basketball camp.
Well, really and truly, I haven't been doing it. I didn't do the camp this year, but the first 2 years, I was doing a training camp to help kids who don't know how to play basketball, give them a start, mm-hmm. to teach them from the bare basics to learn the fundamentals of the game.
No, I was just going to say, I don't mean to cut you off. The reason that I appreciate that is because so many other camps, they have to be at a certain skill level. But you're taking kids like a diamond in the rough and then just helping them to get these skills. You're not saying, oh, you got to be so great or, you know, this or mm-hmm. that. You're taking them and you're actually molding them. Do you think that your military background helped you with that?
Yes, it plays a big role into it because I wasn't made a Marine overnight. It takes us mm-hmm. 14 weeks to become a Marine. To even earn, you take out of that 14, excuse me, I might be off a little bit on the weeks. It's been such a long time. 13, I would say 14. You don't earn the title Marine until your 12th after your 12th week. And you have to go through what's called a crucible. Just one step.
Right.
So with that, with the child, it's the same thing.
No, he didn't say just, I'm going to get my salt shaker for you. He said just one sec.
What I wanted to do, though,
is just like show, you know, how you're using your training and your skills with the kids, because I've seen you actually in action with the kids, and sometimes you incorporate your military training with the camp, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And do you feel that helps them to what, build stamina or stay in power?
Basketball is 80% mental, 20% physical for those who are true basketball mm-hmm. players. You have to use your brain more than you'll use anything else. So how I incorporate the military into it is a basic, simple formula where I have to get them focused and to believe that the impossible is possible. When a kid cannot dribble in month number one or day one, he can't dribble. But by day number 90, he's able to handle the basketball as if he's been playing for. He's dribbling. Not bouncing, but dribbling.
John, I really appreciate you calling in and being a guest tonight. I do have other guests that are on hold waiting to speak. But tell us again the ages that you deal with.
I deal with 13-year-olds to 18-year-olds.
And how can someone get in touch with you and get their son involved with your league?
Phone number to call me on is 404-484-3454. The other part is you look up Rhinos Youth Basketball Club on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and you can reach out to me there, or you can reach out to me on my Facebook page and on John Genius as well. So there's various ways. You know, if they really want to get in touch with me for their child, there's ways, and I just put the information out there.
Okay, great. So they can reach you at, again, 404-484-3454. Thank you so much, John, for being my first guest, actually, on Racine Ties Live. The show will air on Max Radio, so spread the word. Thanks a lot, John, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, can I give a shout-out to Maxine Jones-Teller? I love on their vote. Plain and simple.
That's all you want to say?
Yeah,
well, Maxine, John Genius loves you. All right, cool. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, have a good one, okay? Thanks.
You too. My next guest is Kevin K. Chill Harris. Calvin K. Chill Harris. Calvin, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
Hey, Calvin, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm great. Definitely. You know what? Just like I was telling you earlier, the reason that I wanted to have you as one of my first guests is because your energy, I mean, you can just see your energy just jumps off the page on Facebook. It's like you can just tell you're so passionate about what you're doing. And before I just start running my mouth, I know that you are an artist, actor, and producer. But tell us, Kelvin, what you actually do and some of the projects you're involved with.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say congratulations on your show because a black woman doing
thank
the thing
you.
Is to be saluted, and we appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I go from
the pioneer days of, you know, being a bass legend from 96. Keith Chill and Tetris was the group. I had the first hit set it off and went on to work with other artists, travel, did some of everything, and started booking and managing. You know, some artists like, you know, Jizzle Man from Franchise Boys, working with Jagged Edge and booking shows for Silk, you name it, H-Town. Just been blessed to work with a lot of different artists. And then I started acting, jumped in Stomp the Yard, 2006. Consequences, Daddy's Little Girls, Tyler Perry, Motors 2, Vivica Fox. And recently, Alvin and the Chipmunks and Survivor's Remorse, Snap Killer Couples. I mean, I've been blessed to work with a lot of different
projects. Yes, you
so,
have.
Yeah,
wow. So, Kelvin, if you don't mind me asking, because you're naming some things that I'm like, okay, you have to be a little bit older. I'm thinking you're one age. How old are you, Kelvin?
45.
No way. Are you serious? You look
so much
younger.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you are a vet in the industry.
Right.
And I was just
going to
say.
20 plus years.
Right. So I was just going to tell you, ask you to name some of the people. You already started naming some of the people that you worked with before. Could you go down the list of some of your, I won't say your favorite people, but some of the people that stood out in your mind that you worked with, you know, throughout the years? Who really stood out in your mind?
Actually, what brought me to Atlanta in 95 was the dream of working with Outkast or possibly being signed with them, or, you know, meet them. And actually came down as a barber. And this barbershop that I picked to work in was Andre's barbershop that he came to get his hair cut at from Outkast.
Wow.
So from there, we ended up being cool. I got cool with his dad, and we actually performed and did speakings together at Career Day for, you know, like some elementary schools, and it was just a wild dream. And I actually had a hit record the next year when I got to Atlanta in 96. So, and it wasn't because of Outkast, but the crazy fact that I did get to meet him and was, you know, there and sitting next, you know, I was cutting hair next to the chair that he sat in and was able to just kind of get cool with him and still ended up being on same shows, traveling, doing shows together. It was crazy.
Wow. So, man, that's like a testimony right there within itself. I mean, never let anybody tell you what you can't do, what is not possible, you know?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
What obstacles did you have to overcome, Kelvin?
Oh, my God.
You know,
God,
before
you even
got to that point.
You know,
and by the way,
I didn't
realize you're a barber. I am actually a former barber, and my next guest is a barber as well. So I'm like really bugging right now.
That.
I had no idea.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw that. You know, a lot of great musicians and artists started in that barber shop because that was really the only job we could be flexible enough to travel and do our stuff and, you know, not have to punch in. So, you know, that was a blessing.
Right.
But it's funny you said that because what my inspiration comes from my true life story movie that I'm working on right now. And it's going to show all the obstacles and everything that I had to go through from, you know, being a fatherless child to not having, you know, the support and love of a mother. And I ended up having to run away from home at 15 and be out on my own. And luckily,
right,
God sent, you know, a father to step in my life, which was my best friend's dad. And, you know,
right,
Big Jim Ford has been my pop to this day. So coming to Atlanta was actually like on a wish and a prayer, because I was supposed to come with two friends that knew people and had stuff situated. So I gave up everything from Racine, Wisconsin that I had, car, apartment, job,
Racine,
everything.
Hey, and that's me.
Racine,
yeah,
that's it. So on a day of traveling to Atlanta, they bailed out, left me stuck.
Are you kidding me?
No,
what?
The day of, there was no turning back for me. So I had less than $300 in my pocket. I had to hop on a Greyhound bus, determined, was scared to death, was still going. I got on that Greyhound bus, pulling into Atlanta. I seen homeless people scattered all over the sidewalk, and I was scared to death because I was thinking, if I fail, I'm going to be laying on a curb with these homeless people.
Exactly.
And from that point on, my faith kicked in. I gave it to God. I didn't have no worries, and he carried me through, and here I am, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, years later.
Yeah. How many years ago was that?
That was 1995. So.
Oh my gosh.
From seeing those homeless people laying on the curb inspired me to start my own nonprofit organization, and I've been feeding the homeless for about 4 years now. Feed the Hungry USA is my nonprofit, and I was inspired because I saw those homeless people thinking I might be one of them.
Wow, Kelvin, that is inspiring. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That is what you know, you're telling me some things I had no idea about, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That is inspiring. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
So the reason I wanted to talk to you is because, like you mentioned, you do have a movie that is in production right now. You want to tell us a little bit more about that? What was the, the moment where you said, you know what, I want to put this on film to let everybody else see what I went through? What made you want to do that?
What made me want to do it is the album that I dropped in 2005 had this song on it called Ease the Pain, and it was like a whole life story song that was, you know, pretty much in a nutshell in about three or four minutes. And every time I seen people respond to that song, when they get done listening to it, they were in tears, whether it was a hard guy or a female. And I kept seeing the song affect them that much, and I said, wow, I have to do something else with this song. I mean, it's got to be a book and a movie or something. So from that point on, I started thinking of how can I make this my life story a movie. If this song can affect them that much, I knew I had to put it on film. And Antoine Fisher's story and Precious inspired me. And 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. I said, if they can put their story out there and it affect people in a certain way, then why don't I share my story with people who may not be able to deal with their life story, you know, with their pain.
Exactly.
And so let me try to use my story to help somebody else. And if it can save a life, then I've done my job, you know, or at least inspire
somebody. Exactly.
So,
you know, I'm not sure if I told you, Kelvin, I wrote a book. It's called Success Looks Good on Me. And that's the same way I felt. I'm like, if I write this book and if it only helped just at least one person, I feel like I accomplished something. So I see exactly where you're coming from. I know how you feel. Wow. You want to tell us some of the people that you have involved in the project right now? Some of the different artists and actors?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, let me give a shout out to A-Town Films, Mr. Joseph.
Definitely,
and,
Joseph Carter.
Yeah, Joseph Carter is my boy, and we've been shooting some other things, and this boy is phenomenal. So he's going to definitely bring it to life, and I definitely want to bring A-Town Films to the front. I'm definitely trying to get him connected to Will Packer, who put me in my first, you know, major movie, which was Stomp the Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Packer is doing some major things, so I'm definitely trying to connect those two once this project is born. Oh yeah, and definitely Mr. Monster Productions with my boy Michael Macon. He's gonna partner up with Joe. So he just shot two of Pastor Troy's movies, and they're awesome movies.
Oh, okay.
So We were homeboys. It's Pastor Troy's first movie, and Down to Come Up is the one that they just finished. Having those two together, you know, we won't be missing anything that we need to deliver a heartfelt movie.
Right.
People are going to be leaving the theaters with their eyes running and wet face. And I've hand selected some of Atlanta's best actors and actresses. So
yes, I see.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you know, I've hand selected, you know, a lot of actors. Mm-hmm. My list too long right now, but I will be promoting and put those out because I still have to cast for some of the kid versions of Me and My Brothers and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, right now I'm mainly focusing on the production and then the actors and everything. I will definitely be promoting those really hard coming up, you know, soon. So,
well,
you know, I
want to
definitely
wait.
Put a nice sound pack together. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I can't wait, too.
I know that's
going to
happen. That's going to definitely happen, seeing that you're already an artist, so that's going to happen. And, I love seeing the updates when you add different actresses and actors, you know, some of the things that you're involved in. So I'm like, you know what? I got to talk to Kelvin, you know, because I think we have, like, mutual friends, and I've seen you here and seen you there. But I'm like, you know what? I got to call him. I got to talk to him. So I'm so happy that you came on tonight and told us a little bit about what you have going on. Kelvin, tell everyone how they can contact you.
Okay, well, as you know, on Facebook, Kelvin K-Chill Harris, and that's K-E-L-V-I-N. And if you're on Instagram, it's K-Chill A-T-L. I don't use Twitter no more. I got hacked and I left alone.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, and then if anybody want to, you know, submit anything, it's chillzoneentertainment@gmail.com. You know, if anybody want to submit, you know, once I do start casting for the additional features and extras and things like that. So, you know,
and
I'm
that was my next question. So you are looking for people?
Yes, I'm still looking for people, and I'm not trying to go after all stars. I'm trying to create some new stars. I'm trying to get people locally in Atlanta that have the gift but never been given that chance. So I'm not looking
to
run after the Denzels and the Gabrielle Unions. I'm trying to make the stars of Atlanta that are unknown. I'm trying to bring people to the forefront. So I'm definitely doing that. We did it with Consequences, Love and Success. We're using the people that are already stars but just haven't been, you know, shine that light on. And, you know, soundtrack
wise
and everything.
Right, because there's so much talent. Yeah,
so much talent
that is not in the forefront, but these people got it. It's just that a lot of people haven't seen it, you know.
Exactly.
They haven't been in the projects where they can see them. So that's wonderful, Kelvin. Thank you so much, Kelvin, for being on my first episode of Racing Ties Live. I really appreciate
this. I'm excited. It's an honor to be on with one of the involved members. That's major.
Definitely. Matter of fact, Miss Maxine is on right now. I want to click her in. Maxine, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Racine.
Oh,
hey, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you so much. I was just telling him thanks so much for being on the first episode. So, Max, I don't know if you want to hang around with us, Kelvin, or not, but I just wanted to ask Max a few questions. I know she's been hanging around on the line.
Wanted to say congratulations to Maxine. I've been a fan for years. Love everything you did. Big fan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's awesome. I enjoyed your talking with Racine and learning about you too as well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Definitely. Now, Max, for everyone or whoever has been hiding under a rock for the last, I don't know how many years, give us just a little bit of background, Max, on how long you've been in the industry and what inspired, because you are a founding member of InFolk. So just give us briefly how that is, you know, you were inspired to do that.
Well, you know, I've always sang, and I'm a hairdresser as well, by the way. I am a braider, and I worked in a hair salon in Oakland,
you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I worked in a hair salon for like 8 years in Oakland, California, and had been singing background for a lot of the local Bay Area talent.
Uh-huh.
And also, too, a lot of musicians, local celebrities came through the salon that I worked in, and so I heard about the auditions for the group En Vogue. Producers Denzel Foster and Thomas McElroy were holding auditions to put together a girl group, and I was recommended because of actually being in the salon and hearing about it, and because you had to be recommended for the audition, and I was able to get an audition, and that's how it happened, basically.
And that's history. That's history. Max, once you were in the group, did you ever imagine that it would soar? And I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure if you're, like, near the laptop or something. I just hear, like, a little bit of feedback on your phone. But I was going to say, like a little stat. It seemed like it's going away now. I don't know. But did you ever expect the group to take off the way that it did? Did you ever expect it to go to the heights that it reached?
Well, I was very hopeful because Foster and McElroy, they were famous in their own right. They were members of Club Nouveau, and they had a bunch of hits. They had put out Tony, Tony, Tony. And they were successful first coming out of the gate. And so I expected, you know, that we we had a record deal. We walked right into a record deal. So I was expecting to at least get the exposure, you know, and our music to be heard. And it turned out great. You know, the first single winded up going number one. So, we were lucky.
Now, yes. No, you were talented.
Fast forward,
Max. I want to fast forward and basically ask you, because I always ask people what type of obstacles, you know, they had to overcome. But really, I want to ask you, what advice would you give to someone who is trying to make their mark in the industry, whether it's singing or acting or, you know, just doing what their passion is? What advice would you give someone?
I would say the basic thing, and it's the first thing, and that's to learn your craft and be very good at it. I would say that would, no matter what you decide to do, if you're acting, you know, if you're singing, be very, very good at it, learn it. You know, and go a little further. You know, if you're a musician, learn how to read music.
Right.
You play an instrument, you know, and that kind of thing. Study your craft, you know, and be very, very good at it and love it. You know, there's a lot of people. I think singing is relative. A lot of people can do it, you know. But I think, you know, studying your craft, knowing the history of your craft, and just delving yourself in it in every way you possibly can. And I say that because today, you know, with the shows like Idol and some of these shows where I feel like music is kind of instant now, you know. There's not very much artist development like it was in my day.
Yes, you can see that. And how do you feel about that, Max? I mean, you see, like, I don't want to, you know, put anyone down or anything like that, but you gave it, like, a name. It is kind of instant. So I think, you know, personally, I'm seeing it, and I think that a lot of people probably say, oh, well, I don't have to put work into it, or I don't have to, you know, put much effort into it because, you know, it can happen in a snap. But, I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think if you, it can happen in a snap. It really can. I mean,
yeah.
It's been proven. But I think if you want longevity, that's what
right.
you have to do. If you want to do it for the rest of your life, if you want to make a mark
that's true.
For long after you're gone, you really got to, you should be great at it. You know, I mean, we have the great Motown as a great example. That was major artist development. And every artist that came out of there, I mean, we're still listening to their music today. So that should be our model.
And
like you said, I don't want to put anybody down. There's a lot of great people out there doing some really great music. And so, you know, I think though the thing that gives you that longevity and makes it last forever is what you put into it.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so evident when, you know, somebody is passionate about their craft and when they put the work in. Now, Max,
yeah.
let me ask you, what type of projects are you involved in now today?
Well, I'm working on my album, and I'm hoping
I can't wait.
That... Thank you, and I'm hoping that I can have something for folks to hear really soon. I'm also writing
mm-hmm.
a book, and
oh,
I'm
okay.
actually.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm writing a book, and I have a really great draft of it right now, and I'm hooking up with some more people that's going to take it to the next level, and then hopefully that's ready by the end of the year as well. I'm also, as you've seen on Facebook, I'm going to be involved in a play. I'm really excited about
yes,
that.
Yes, I can't wait.
Yeah, and I'm thank
and
you, and I'm really, it's my first time doing theater, so I'm really, really excited about it. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
now, is there like a big change from being on the stage to performing a song, you know, like a set on stage rather than like acting on stage? Have you seen the difference yet, or are you just kind of like waiting for that first audience?
Well, just, you know, I had rehearsals over the weekend with the crew that's in the play with me, and those guys are professionals. So it's a different medium. There's some differences. I mean, and I have to work hard at mainly just projecting, making big gestures, just a lot of stuff that pertains to theater.
Oh, so it's like the little things.
Well, they're big things. To me, they're really big things.
right.
And timing and
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, you have you done theater, Lucy?
No theater.
Okay. I don't know why
back
you strike
in high
me as that
school.
Kind of person.
Back in, because I'm so theatrical, back in high school, but yeah, I guess it would be a big difference, I guess, to make it seem natural and to make it flow,
exactly.
timing and all that. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, who are some of the people involved?
I'm working, first off, the play is written and directed by a Dallas playwright, an acclaimed Dallas playwright by the name of Teresa Ballett. The name of the play is Suspicion, Lies, and Death by Pies.
That sounds great.
It's a murder mystery and comedy. It's produced by J.D. Lawrence, who's a nationally acclaimed producer. He's also a playwright himself. He's written hundreds of plays that have even gotten to as far as Broadway. He's really big and an established and acclaimed music producer as well. So we're really, really blessed to have him as well. The lead is Darius McCrary. He's playing the lead role in the play. You all know about him. You know his history. He started with Mississippi Burning and then went to Family Matters was the show he started in for a lot of years. And he's an accomplished musician as well. Many people don't know that about him.
Right.
So we have Darius playing the lead male role, and then we have Demita Haddon Chandler, who is a gospel sensation. And she plays the female lead role in it as well.
Oh, okay.
And you know
who I was surprised to see, Max? I was surprised to see James Wright.
James Wright, yes. I was surprised.
I didn't know that.
Well, I thought it was a perfect. I think he recently got added, and I thought it was a perfect addition to the play because of course the play is called Suspicion, Lies, and Death by Pies, and of course he made Patty's pies.
That's right.
That.
That's right. Oh my gosh!
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I got a chance
that
to meet him,
so cool.
And boy, is he awesome! The boy can sing.
Yeah, he's a character.
Yes. And there's so many really.
I love that clip that you guys are in.
Yeah. So many great singers. Demita. I didn't know who Demita was before coming to the auditions. And these guys are powerhouses. So I'm really excited to be working with them. And I know we're going to have
a lot of
fun on the road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
that play is in September, right?
Well, we're starting out.
And that's going to be in September?
Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. We start in North Carolina, at Salem, North Carolina, on the 16th of September, and then the 17th in Charlotte, and then on the 18th in Portsmouth, Virginia. And we're going to start that weekend to get the play off and running and to tape it, because it's also planned to be, we're hoping, a television series as well.
Oh, wow, that would be great.
Yeah. And so
that would be great, Max. I'm trying to catch it.
Huh? I'm sorry?
No, there's like a little bit of a delay, but I was saying I'm trying to catch it in Charlotte. Yes, on the 17th.
Really?
I want to go and see that. Yes, I can't wait, because it looks like it's going to be a great play.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know where the delay is coming from. I mean, there's nothing happening in my house. I can hear you.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
That's fine. It's fine. Now, the very final thing, and one of the reasons I wanted you as one of my first guests, Max, is because I wanted to formally thank you for allowing me to have a platform on your venture,
please.
Which is Max Radio.
Well, you know what?
Really?
It's my pleasure and an honor for me and a huge opportunity for me. And I knew automatically that you'd be as dynamic as you are with it when I
put
friends on Facebook. And I thought, no, I got to reach out to Racine because I could see what you were doing. So I'm so happy to have you, and I want to thank you. I really do.
Oh, please.
I'm
still
so
thanking
you. I feel so blessed to have you. I feel so blessed.
Right.
To
well,
have
I'm blessed you. To. I'm
when
blessed you, to have you, legendary Maxine Jones. I said I wasn't going to take up too much of your time. I really appreciate you calling in, taking out time, because I know you just came back from rehearsals and you're so busy. So we really appreciate you taking out time to chat with us. Everybody's looking forward to
you.
It.
And thank you
yes,
so much, Racine, for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. So. Very
thanks,
cool.
Max.
I want to say goodnight
all right,
to your guests, too.
Definitely. Have a great evening.
Thank
all
you.
All right.
You too,
bye-bye.
Sweetie. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, my final guest is a former employer of mine, as I talked with Kelvin and Max. I forgot Max was a stylist as well. I was a barber, and my final guest is a barber as well, but he's so much more than that. He's a business mogul. G, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It was
And you, Liebert Lester II, or Fitzgerald. What are you going by now?
Well, my name is Liebert Fitzgerald Lester II.
Liebert Fitzgerald Lester II. Okay. All right. And G, just as I was talking, I was so surprised that some of my guests were in the industry. I had no idea. But you've taken your career, you've taken your industry to a whole nother level. I guess we could just start off by, well, when I worked with you, you had G Thing Barber and Beauty Salon. But now you have the Institute where you're training other people. So you want to tell us what you have going on?
Well, yeah. Well, as you know from back in the day, I had an It's a G Thing. And mm-hmm. we were in Hartford, Connecticut. And at the time, we were the hottest, you know, barbershop in the city, which led to us
yes.
adding a salon. And, you know, you were there with me in the early days. I had a team of superstars. And,
right.
you know, all of those guys, they now own their own barber salons. So, you know, it was great, you know, working with them. But, you know, as I began to grow, I realized that, you know, as you build the guy up, you make him a superstar, or you help him to see the value in his talent, such that he becomes a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people move on. And so what I realized is that I had trained a lot of individuals, and I had trained a lot of individuals to become successful. So as a result, I began to think about, I built a 15,000 square foot facility in 2008
mm-hmm.
that had 40 chairs, a nail bar, a pedicure lounge, and a coffee bar. And,
right.
you know, after building it, I realized that it was so large for a salon, and I realized that my destiny was to ultimately become an educator and begin to
right.
take the tools and the skills that I acquired over the years and teach other individuals. And so that's when I developed what was known as the Institute of High-End Groomers, and I had to write a curriculum in which I got Board of Education certification. So now I'm certified by the Board of Education to teach barber and cosmetology and aesthetics.
Wow, that's great, G. Now, when, what year was it, or how long have you had the Institute now?
I got my accreditation in 2010.
This
is my sixth year of having actual accreditation, but this is my 21st mm-hmm. year of business. As you know, I've been training and teaching guys from the beginning. So it's
right,
just that I
right.
wasn't officially a training institute, because there were a lot of schools or hair schools in the area that taught barbering, that taught cosmetology. But what I found
mm-hmm.
is that when these individuals were graduating, they had a license, yes, but they didn't have the practical skills that were required to be successful.
Right.
So I found
yeah.
myself constantly teaching, you know, showing guys how to work the razor, showing guys how to get a line out of a face, showing them how to
mm-hmm.
taper, showing them how to cut and do various styles. So my 21
yeah.
years has been spent teaching, but officially it's 2010 that I was able to give an individual a certificate and send them to the board where they could actually sit and take the state exam to become licensed.
Right. And you know what, G, when you're at your level of knowledge and success, it's only like a natural progression that you, you know, pass it on to someone else so that they can, you know, further their career as well. And it's a blessing that you actually have the patience, you know, the knowledge and the patience to want to even pass it on to someone. So, you know, that's commendable within itself. So you had the salon, and then I know that you said you've always kind of been teaching people. Was there like a light bulb moment when you said, you know what, I want to do this, the Institute, I want to have the school, or did you just always have that in the back of your mind that that was something that you were going to do?
Well, I would say when what you call the light bulb moment,
mm-hmm.
When I release or inform my team, because I had a team of superstars, you know all of the guys originally, and when I inform
mm-hmm.
the team that I was going to build a new facility, that we were going to have a new home, that we were going to do a lot of great things. I had a lot of adversaries, people who, you know, I would say, for lack of a better word, they weren't in my corner. So as a result,
right,
as the business began to grow, as we became more popular, and, you know, there was standing room only in the waiting area, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, we had guys, you know, my guys are cutting 75 to 100 heads a week each. So
right,
we were doing a lot of volume through the salon. And so people began to get into the ears of my people. And so at that point, I remember the day where my whole staff, they just walked out. They decided, they got with the landlord, and he put something together, and he moved my people away. And
what? Wow.
Yeah. And, you know.
You mean
so,
literally walked out?
Literally gone. Literally gone.
Wow.
So I was left in a situation where you know, and everybody was watching, and they were talking, and said, oh, he finished now. What is he going to do? And that's why I always recommend people who want to own salons, you have to make sure that you are a hairstylist or a barber, or that you're providing some level of service, so that in worst-case scenario, if the people walk out, you can, you know, step up to that position and keep the business going until you can redefine your direction. And so what I did was I was a little disappointed because, one, I put a lot into the building of the base, and, you know, I spent a lot
right,
on
that's
advertising.
Understandable.
You
yeah.
know, I created a traffic flow. And so
right.
after those things happened, you know, most people may have given up. But my thing was, I always believed that, you know, it was my destiny, because just to go into how I first got into barbering, you know, I happened, you know, I was 13 years old. I was walking down the street, and there was a clipper that was sitting on top of the garbage. And the clipper was sitting there, but the cord was spliced. And I wasn't interested.
You said the cord was spliced?
Yeah, the cord was spliced. But I wasn't interested in the clipper per se. What I was interested in was the actual spliced cord, because I had seen my father repair so many secondhand items that had spliced cords, and I had watched him do it. So what I wanted to do was, I wanted to take the clipper and just splice the cord together, put that black tape around it, plug it in, and see it that it worked. And so when I actually did that, I gave it to my father. I did it, and then I, you know, I told my dad. I said, I think I fixed it. I think the clipper worked, and the blade wasn't moving, but I could hear it humming. And so
right, so you just knew
was,
you were successful with that.
Well, yeah, but I took lard. I took lard and I put it on the blade. And so when I put the lard on the blade, the blade still didn't move. And so my mother called me to do something. And so I went to see what my mother wanted. And so when I came back in the bathroom, I heard all of this bumping because the clipper had gotten hot, melted the lard, turned to grease, and caused the blade to start moving. So the blade was moving. And the first thing I did was I just stuck the blade in my head. And so when I stuck the blade, and I stuck the blade in my head, it dug out a piece of hair.
Oh,
and
my God.
So I was like, oh, crap. You know, my mother and they're going to kill me. And what I did was I just took the clipper, and I just took all my hair off. Now, we never
ever
wanted
a ball. So that was your first haircut?
That was my first haircut. And
oh, my God.
My mother asked me, where did I get money from to get a haircut, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, I told her about the clipper, and I told her what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had me to cut my brother's hair. And so that you know, my business of cutting hair. And so what I did was I became that $2 barber. And so
just pause you right there. Tell everyone how many brothers you have.
Oh yeah, I have seven brothers.
So you cut all of the hair?
Yeah, I cut all of them. I cut all.
And that's how you actually got started by cutting their hair.
Well, that's how I got started cutting their hair. But then I went to Prince Tech for high school, and my father told me to go into electrical. So I chose electrical as a shop. And when in the shop, I got into a disagreement with a student. It became physical. I kind of punched him in the nose, and some red stuff ran out of his nose. And so they sent me to the office. And so they sent me to the office. So now the teacher said he didn't want me in electrical. And I was like, what are you talking about? So I was kicked out of electrical. And they put me in barbering because it wasn't in high demand. And I was to wait in there until
the teacher
decided that he thought I could go back into the shop. And I graduated high school with a barber license.
What year was that, G?
Oh, man, that was a long time ago. I don't even remember. It was a long time ago. Back in the 80s.
It was just a long time
back
ago.
In the 80s.
So that was
the
80s.
The 90s.
So just by chance, you happened to get switched into the barbering class, and then that's when you kind of developed or realized your talent.
Well, no. It was I never really had talent for barbering initially. It was Mr. DeAngelis. Ed DeAngelis, he was our barbering instructor. And so what he did was he began to teach us about the art of barbering, how to master the straight razor, and how to cut. And so I was in the class, and I just participated. And so, I graduated with a barber license. And then, I worked at Jack's Barbershop. My parents had somebody from Jamaica, Bob the Gopi. They had a barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I got my skills honed up working with Bob. And then in 95, I graduated from Morehouse, and I opened my own barbershop. And from that, I just kept on moving.
All right. And you've been on the move ever since. Now let me fast forward to why I wanted you to, talk to everyone and have you on the show. And by the way, this part of the show is called Conversation with a Black Man, where I just want to speak to a black man like yourself, find out what you're doing in the community, what it took for you to get there, what your plans are for the future, and, some advice you can give to other people. So I want to fast forward, G. You have the shop, you have the institute, but from there it sprouted into even more avenues of success for you. You want to tell us about your product line that you have?
Yeah, I have a product line for male and female. I have the L. Fitzgerald Lester Distinguished Products for Men of Distinction. And that's, I have shaving products, I have beard products, I have hair products, I have leather bags, I have shoe trees. Right now I'm actually building a whole line in which you're going to be able to come to the L. Fitzgerald Lester website, and you'll be able to see all of the products that we're putting together right now, because we're in the process
of
rebuilding my site. And then I have Oz and Cole.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you say product, I just want people to understand you have actual straight razors, combs. Can you name some of the products in detail, what you have, just so they can get an idea?
Okay. Yeah, I have straight razors. I have combs. I have safety razors. I have disposable razors. I have my own line of combs. I have the shoe tree. I have the tie hangers. I have hangers. I got so much stuff.
And then you also have hair products as well, correct?
Yeah, I have hair products. I got wave pomades. I got body wash. I have lotion. I have shaving cream.
And these are all under your personal brand?
All under my personal brand. When I worked at Jack, Bob Father Jack, who used to make products and sell guys products. So he passed away, and I was always intrigued because initially, you know, I was pre-med. I was going to be a doctor for Morehouse. That's what I thought I wanted to do. So through having the science and the chemistry, you know, I always thought I could make some stuff. So, you know, Jack used to make stuff. He used to make stuff, and then he had little books around and all of that stuff. Those guys, they didn't treasure books. And every week I read a book, I buy a book, I'm constantly reading. So they discarded some stuff. I, you know, took it and kept it. And when I began to get into a position where I was going to start making my products, I started using that as a reference. And then I started studying organic products. And then I would order the raw goods. And then I have a little lab inside of my facility that I built where I make the first edition of the product. And then I have an FDA lab that I'm working with now. We're about to actually start mass producing the product such that everyone can experience the product that we make.
That's wonderful. Now, along with the product, along with that tangible product that you're offering, G, tell us a little bit about what you, how you've been noticed in the community, the connections that you've made, and the advice and how you've turned that advice into a consultation and how you're, you know, furthering your educational theory.
Okay, well, you know, in the community, you know, everyone knows it's a G thing. We're a staple in the community. Like I said, we've been there 21 years. You have a lot of good barbers in the city, a lot of good hairdressers in the city who have opened salons, but they don't have the longevity. And not to name anyone, but there are a lot of them out there that it's a tough course to be in business. So when I actually built the business, you know, I can think of some, I call them my little soldiers. They're the young men that frequent the barbershop. They come and hang around. They sweep up for me. They'll run to the store for us. I call them my little soldiers. And one of them said to me one time, he's like, oh, man, gee, if you built this place, you know, when I get big, I'm going to build something. And so when I heard that from that little kid, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That was my purpose for building this facility here. Because a lot of people said that I was crazy for building what I built in the area in which I built it, but I built the facility for the people in that community. I built it for our people so that they can see something other than what they've become accustomed to seeing. And so, you know, what we do is, what we've always done, we do the free back-to-school haircuts. So on the 29th of August, I'm going to bring a team of my guys. It'll probably be, it'll be a dozen of us. We're going to do the free back-to-school haircuts. And what we do is we cut all of the kids going back to school for free. And that's one of the busiest seasons of the year for the barbers. But we do it for free as a means of giving back. And the purpose of me doing that, because when I was a kid, we never really got haircuts until I found that clipper. You know, or there were a lot of us. And we always had a nappy head. I mean, right now my head is still nappy because I'm accustomed to having a nappy head.
You just used to it?
I'm used to it.
So,
hey, I'm feeling myself when my head is nappy.
But you know what? And I'm not sure if you know, I have a line out, to a small clothing line called Born Nappy. So you was just born that way.
Just born nappy. You know, my mama was a nappy head.
Right, but hey, it's a good thing. That's that good hair. That's the real good hair. But in line with the products and you know, the connections and everything you're doing with the community. What are you also doing as far as you know, packaging the knowledge that you have? That goes along with it goes right in hand with your institute. You
well,
want to tell us about your video
series? Oh yeah, I have. If you check us out, the Institute of Hiring Groomers, you'll see my videos in which I make inspirational videos to inspire individuals to become self-sufficient. And what I'm doing is, like, I have business workshops that I teach, like marketing with little money, growing your salon or business, you know, the six-figure mind, building a six-figure income that gives you a seven-figure lifestyle, you know, from a booth runner to a salon owner, writing business plans. You know, I do workshops and videos on all of those things so that individuals, if you come to the Institute of High-End Groomers, I groom individuals for success. What we do is
well,
we groom.
Well, I love that. That sounds great.
And so if you go on, like, right now, I'm redoing the website. I'm about to be online. So you know how you got Phoenix University, where you have online college? Well, I'm going to have online cosmetology, barbering, and aesthetics. So you'll be able to do it. Like, people say, oh, man, I want to be a barber. And they're constantly studying on YouTube and touching this guy, that guy. I'm going to have it where you can actually take the course online, and then all you have to do is watch the video series of the course. And then once you complete everything, you submit your documentation, I'm going to be able to give you a certificate that will allow you to sit for the ProMetrics National Examination, where you can get your barber license or cosmetology license. And for those states that have an apprenticeship, the states that have an apprenticeship, all you would need is not the practical piece, but you would have access to the theoretical part so that you can get the book work online. And you just pay the fees and then you do it in your own time.
That is that is wonderful, G. Yeah. I really like, now the name of it again is called Institute of High-End Groomers.
Right.
Okay, and what are some of the topics? I know you mentioned marketing. What are some of the topics again that you cover?
Marketing with little money.
Mm-hmm.
Building a six-figure income, untapped profits. For those who want to go from a booth runner to a salon owner, we have a class for that. And then those who are looking to go into business, we have business and entrepreneur creation workshops, where we can take what you have and show you how to go into business for yourself, such that we can help you put together a business plan that you can actually go to a bank and acquire financing.
You know, and that, you know, now that I've started accepting clients again, because I do commercial mortgages and commercial money broker, I have a lot of people that come to me, and, you know, they don't come to me for the commercial purposes, but for more like the consumer or questions like what you are trying to answer for them. So that's a definite resource that people actually need. You know, they don't know where to get these answers from. They just kind of, you know, drifted. Before I really got into it, I really didn't know. But unless you're actually searching out that information, you know, this is something that they really could use, marketing with little money. There's so many people that if they just had a little bit of knowledge, they could get their thing off the ground. So this is like something that's so needed. It's really needed in the community. Wow. It sounds like you are busy. You have a plate full, G. I mean, do you even have any spare time?
Well, I mean, I only require 2.5 to 3 hours of sleep a day. So that gives me at least 21 hours to work on what I'm working on. So,
oh, my gosh.
You know, because at the Institute of High-End Groomers, in grooming individuals for success, we groom you for success. I know that, you know, barbering, cosmetology, and aesthetics, that may be the what's really seen on the umbrella. But what you see, I mean, our whole business workshop, you know, the business workshop, because, you know, I got workshops on teaching you how I acquired my property, you know, how I did. Like now, after building that 15,000 square foot facility, if I had to, I could build a skyscraper because I know the ins and outs. You know, if, you know, borrowing $1 million, I've done all of those things. So I can actually walk an individual who's trying to acquire $100,000 loan, I can show them how you can get that loan, what you need to say in your writing. I can give you an outline that when you're done with the outline that I give you, you'll have a plan in front of you that can be financed with the bank. And that's what we're doing
right.
at the
and
Institute
the,
of Business.
Okay. And so does someone have to be a student at the Institute of High-End Groomers in order to receive that? Or do, are you actually, can they purchase that separately?
Yeah, they can purchase it, because what you'll be able to do is you can go onto the website, and when you go onto the website, what you do is you just, like, you become a student. Like, there's an enrollment fee to enroll, and what enrollment does is it gives you the ability to purchase different classes, like different workshops.
Okay.
Like you may just be interested in business plan writing. So they got business plan writing, business plans for you. Or you may want to know how to incorporate. And everything I teach
that
you is how to do
great.
It yourself. So you become self-sufficient. I walk you through it such that you don't need attorneys and all of these things. Now, I will say that once you put it together, you can. I recommend that you have an attorney look it over. But you don't want to pay an attorney spend 20 hours to do something that you could actually do yourself.
Do yourself,
and so
exactly.
That's the way to do it.
And that's exactly why I said not only are you a barber, but you're a business mogul. Gee, thank you so much for being my first guest on Conversations with a Black Man. Can you tell everyone how to contact you or reach you at the Institute of High-End Groomers and how they can be a student or either get more information? What is some contact information they can have?
All right. If you wanted to reach out to me on Facebook, you can go to L. Fitzgerald Lester, and you'll find me there, and that's L. Fitzgerald, FitzGerald, and that's Lester, LESTER. Or you can go to www.itsagething.com, itsagething.com, or you can go to High End Groomers, and that's HIENDGROOMERS.com, and you'll be able to reach out to us. Or you can email me. You can email me directly at L.Fitzgerald720@gmail.com. And we'll start a conversation. And also, Racine, I forgot to mention, but I'm also lecturing now. Since I've been making the videos, people have been actually paying me to come out and speak. And so things are really, really looking well, because a lot of people are inspired by watching these videos.
You need to just change your name to A Man on the Move, because you're definitely moving. Yeah, I can't keep up. Wow, thank you so much, G, for being my guest. Everyone else for being my guest. Don Genius, the basketball coach and entrepreneur. Kelvin K. Chill Harris, who is the producer, artist, and actor. The lovely, legendary Miss Maxine Jones. This show will actually air on Max Radio by Adventure by Maxine Jones. And L. Fitzgerald Lester II. Thank you so much, G, for being my guest tonight. I want to thank everyone.
No, I want to thank you for having me. It was an honor to even have you think of
Definitely.
Me, to introduce me and bring me to your audience, because I like what
Definitely.
You're doing. I like the fact that you're moving forward. And the next time I'm in ATL, I'll make it a point to get in touch with you so that we can catch up.
Definitely. And if anyone didn't get that contact information to get in touch with G to learn more about the Institute of Higher End Groomers or itsagething.com, please contact me and I will put you in contact with any one of my guests tonight. Thank you so much, G. Have a wonderful evening. I look forward to talking to you again. And I look forward to my next show, Racing Ties Live, with Conversations with a Black Man. Like I said, it will air on Max Radio. I will post the link. You can reach me at thinkblessed.com. That's thinkblessed.com. And I do have a few motivational shirts on there. I have a few employment opportunities if you're looking to make a little bit of extra money. So reach out to me, and we'll get this thing popping. Thanks so much, G, and have a great night, everyone.
You too.